I think before we start, we'll get Dave to come over here and give us a quick four-point recap of last week, because we had quite a few who weren't here last week. You can do it in four quick points. I know you can.
She's got more faith than I do. One, two, three, four. Number one, we established that God's nature is that he is a communicating God and that he speaks. Number two, we established that God speaks to people and that he doesn't change and he's still speaking to people. Number three, remember we talked about what happens when God speaks, right? We talked about the fact that something can be created when he speaks, something can be restored when he speaks, something can be affirmed when he speaks, or something can be destroyed when he speaks, right? We covered those 4 points. And then fourthly, we talked about the process of revelation, the seven stages that God goes through to take information and make it a part of our character, who we are.
Very good. All right. That's for those of you who weren't here last week, and for those of you who have already forgotten what we talked about last week. All right. There's also a couple other things I was thinking about that we forgot to mention last week, and so I'll just do it. I know it'll be on the tape, but we'll just say it really fast. For those of you who are new, we have tapes available of the previous week for £1.50. So if you miss a week, don't worry. You can always get the tape. The second thing is we also have like a little silver bowl plate thingy over there, and if you can throw in a couple quid and help with the cost of the room each night, we appreciate it. All right. So now, tonight we want to go on to how God speaks to his people. And the first point that we wanted to look at is that God has created us to hear his voice. We've actually been created by God in his image, especially made just to hear his voice. So the truth is we're really without excuse because he made us as part of himself and created us out of himself as part of him to hear his voice clearly. And a lot of people like today, I think that, and this is in your notes, that hearing the voice of God is hard, that it's abnormal, that it's something different or difficult. But the scripture reveals that hearing his voice should be an easy and frequent experience. All right, you can write that in the blank in your notes. An easy and frequent experience. God has actually made our ears to hear his voice. Before we go on, I just want to mention, I did the notes a little bit differently this time because, you know, I usually leave lots of blanks and you have to write like crazy. So I've filled in lots of the notes for you tonight, and all you have to do is like fill in the blanks. It should be so easy. All right, you have a couple of scriptures here now. Number one, John 10:27, is my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. It's meant to be totally natural part of following Jesus, is hearing his voice. All right. Proverbs 20:12, this is the second one, says the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. So God has actually made our ears to hear him. He's given us spiritual senses to discern his communication. And then the third scripture we have here, in Revelations 2:3, remember Jesus had a message for each of the seven churches. And in those messages to each one of those churches, he repeated over and over again, to him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And he said that 7 times in those 2 chapters. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. God created us to hear his voice. That's part of our walk with him. All right, now B, our ability to hear God is not based on our righteousness. It's not based on our righteousness, but upon the truth that we are his creation, we're made in his image, And we've been fashioned to hear His voice. All right, it's not based on our righteousness, but upon the truth that we've been created in His image and fearfully and wonderfully made, fashioned specifically to hear His voice. We don't have to strive and strain to hear Him speak to us. All right, I think it's important to note that even after sin entered the world, a lot of times we tend to think, well, all right, I've done things I shouldn't. Maybe we know we've got some unconfessed sin back there somewhere. And there's this guilt and shame thing going on, and we think, oh, well, I'm not really in a position for God to speak to me, or I'm not really in a position to be able to hear God because I've done these things, right? And I'm not making allowances for unconfessed sin, but I think it's important to make the point that even after sin entered into the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were still able to very clearly and easily hear the voice of God. And you've got a reference there, Genesis 3:8. All right? Even after they sinned and they were hiding from God and running from Him, they could still clearly hear God calling them. Okay? And then likewise, we also see that Cain had no problem hearing the voice of God after he murdered his brother Abel. And this is in Genesis chapter 4. So I think it's important that we recognize that the effects of sin can harden our hearts towards God and greatly hinder us from hearing Him and from opening our spiritual hearts and our spiritual ears to Him. But God has made provision for our sin by the blood of His Son for every hindrance and every obstacle that we would allow in place to keep us from hearing His voice. He's made the provision by the blood of His Son. And so what it all boils down to is that, yes, sin is there. You know, we struggle with it. But, I mean, that's part of the human condition. But God has made a way. He's made the provision through the blood of His Son that there would be no hindrance and no obstacle between us and Him that would keep us from hearing His voice. He's made the provision. He's made the way. And so we find that in Psalm 95, 7 and 8, we find the psalmist pleading, saying, you know, he's our God and we're His sheep and the people of His pasture and the people of His hand. And then he goes on, today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts. Because God is speaking all the time. And He's made provision that there would be no obstacle between us and Him that would keep us or prevent us from hearing His voice. And so if we harden our hearts to Him, it's by our choice. Okay? And sometimes there's a process, you know, of learning to recognize His voice, but we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about whether we have the ability or the capability to hear Him, and we all do. All right? Because He's made a way, He's made the provision, and He makes that plea through the psalmist. If He's speaking today to you, don't harden your heart to Him. Don't let the sin get in the way. Make use of the provision that Jesus made by the blood of Jesus and get rid of every hindrance and every obstacle and come to Him. Don't let that hindrance stay there. All right? Now, so this is number two. Under C, we see we can take every mistake, we can take every failing, we can take every sin before Him and receive His cleansing. And if we do this, and if we keep our hearts open and tender and soft before Him, then we will hear His voice. Because number one, He designed us and created us and fashioned us with the capability to hear His voice. And number two, because he is talking to us all the time. All right, should I repeat that? If we take every mistake, every failing, and every sin before him and receive his cleansing, if we're careful to do that, and if we keep our hearts open and tender and soft before him, then we will hear his voice. There may be a process involved of learning to recognize it, but if we do those things, we will hear his voice. Because, one, he designed us and created us with the capability to hear his voice. And secondly, because he's talking to us all the time. All right, and then the last point under this section is just a mention of Genesis chapter 3, verses 10 and 13. You have that, it's letter D. And this passage is this whole dialogue that goes on between Adam and God, okay, where God says, where are you? Adam, where are you? And Adam says, I was naked and afraid and stuff, so I hid myself. And God says, well, why'd you do that? Did you eat of the tree? Did you eat of the fruit that I told you not to eat? And he goes, well, yeah, she gave it to me. And then he says, ooh. And then the conversation goes on, you know. And the thing about this passage, though, is that it reveals the conversational nature of God's communication with his kids. Okay? It reveals the conversational nature of God's communication with his kids. The fact of the matter is that he wants to converse with us in the same way that two people would sit down and have a chat together. And so often, you know, we think of it as being like a date, okay, with this person that we don't know very well, like a blind date. How many of you have ever felt like you were on a blind date with God? This person that you didn't know and didn't know what to expect from them, right? Okay, but it's not meant to be like that. It's not supposed to be where you set aside, like you have this special little time and you go to this special little place and you're not quite sure what they're going to say and you're not quite sure what you're going to say and everything's a little bit awkward. It's not like that at all. It's meant to be sitting down and having a chat with your best friend. And that's God's desire. And you see that in this whole passage of this whole dialogue with Adam after the fall. I mean, Adam and Eve have just messed up really big here. I mean, all of mankind for the rest of the centuries and millenniums are going to go through pain and anguish and all these things because of what they just did. I mean, what they just did had monumental consequences, and you know that the heart of God had to have been grieving over what they had just done. And yet God sits down and starts having this conversation with him, even after what they'd just done, and knowing the grave and serious consequences that that would have on people for eons to come. But it shows, you know, his heart to just sit down and communicate and converse with us like two friends having a chat. So anyway, let's go on. Part two, the Holy Spirit. We wanted to take a minute to talk about the Holy Spirit here because he's really the Father's primary agent of communication. And how many of you are familiar with all these different passages, you know, through the scriptures where angels came and brought a message from God? Can you think of at least one? Everybody think of at least one, right? Okay. Well, we know that God still sends angelic messengers with a word or a piece of instruction today. I mean, I still hear about people that have had an angelic visitation from somebody, from some angel with something from God. And if you look at these passages in the New Testament, and you can write these in your notes, Luke 24, verses 5 through 7. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, and Acts chapter 12, verse 7, or just a couple, okay, in the New Testament, after Jesus died and was resurrected. Okay, these are not the one in Luke, but the ones in the book of Acts obviously are ones where, you know, we're talking New Testament church time here, and people were still receiving angelic visitations, but more often than not, in this age, he speaks to us, to his people, through his Spirit. All right? He sent the Holy Spirit for a reason. And it wasn't just so we could sing songs about him. As his instrument of communication, the Spirit speaks directly to the heart and spirit of the person. He's God's agent to lead us into all truth, and the one who gives us the ability to rightly divide the word of truth. And now remember, he's called the Spirit of Truth. He's the one who gives us the ability to rightly divide the word of truth so that we can properly understand and apply the scriptures to our lives. We can't understand this without the help of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit who brings us the heart and mind and intent of the author of this book. So we can't understand the Bible without the help of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who amplifies and clarifies what's muddy. And he guides us to the heart and mind and will of the Father. Right? Now, you've got all that in your notes, but I just wanted to repeat it. Let's look at a couple of these passages where Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit as God's agent of communication. I want to make a note here that the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is much more extensive than this little bit we're going to talk about right now. We're only looking at his ministry of communication, okay? So let's look at what Jesus had to say about the ministry of the Holy Spirit as God's agent of communication. First of all, in John 14:26, Jesus says that his job is to teach us all things and to bring to our remembrance what he, Jesus, has said. His job is to bring to our remembrance all that Jesus has said and to teach us all things. And then you also have a note there in your notes that in this passage and in a couple of the other ones we're going to talk about, the Holy Spirit is called, in the Greek, it's parakletos, which means one who is called alongside. And it signifies a helper, comforter, counselor, intercessor, and advocate. So the Holy Spirit plays all of those roles in our lives as our paraclete. All right. John 15:26. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth here, the one who brings truth, who comes from the Father. And Jesus says his job in this passage is to testify of him, of Jesus, to testify of him, to lift him up, and to reveal him. He says the Holy Spirit's job in this passage, John 15:26, is to testify of him, Jesus, to lift him up and to reveal him. And he's called the Spirit of Truth here. All right, then in John 16, verse 8, we find that the Holy Spirit brings conviction in the life of the believer. But this is really important. He doesn't just bring conviction of sin, although he does do that too. Okay? He also brings conviction of God's provision and God's purposes for us. according to this passage. He communicates God's heart and mind and will and brings that conviction. All right. And then John 16:12-15, the last one. Jesus said the Holy Spirit was sent to guide us into all truth. To guide us into all truth and to communicate the heart and mind of Jesus and the Father to us. That he was sent to guide us into all truth and to communicate the heart and mind of Jesus and the Father to us. All right, so now let's go on and look at some of the opportunities through which the Holy Spirit speaks to us. All right, one of these is the written word. Obviously, this one kind of goes without saying. We don't have to say a whole lot about it. I just want to make a note here. Jesus said it's the Spirit who brings life to the Word. It's the Spirit who brings life. And that every word that He, Jesus, has spoken is Spirit and life. That's John 6:63. And then Paul echoed that, saying that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life to the letter. The letter kills, but the Spirit brings life to it. In other words, what was just ink on paper suddenly becomes alive as the Holy Spirit breathes on it and speaks it to our hearts. It becomes alive inside of us. And faith begins to rise and transformation begins to come. All right? And that's 2 Corinthians 3:6. All right. Then another opportunity through which the Holy Spirit speaks to us is in prayer. That's another kind of obvious one, huh? Prayer is simply communication with God. Okay, our communication to Him and His communication to us. Unfortunately, sometimes I think we're too busy talking to listen for His communication to us. And I really like this one-liner. I got it just yesterday or the day before on an email from a friend. And it says, "When you come to God, you come to report for duty, not to give instructions." But you know, that hits on something that's so true. You know, how often do we go to spend that time communicating with God and it's all one-sided? It's, you know, "God, I need this and I need this and I need you to do this and this isn't happening right." And, you know, and there's times and seasons for that. But if that's our whole prayer life, then we're missing out on the life that comes from His communication to us if we're not listening and receiving the life that comes with His words. All right. The third one is His body. Okay, the Holy Spirit often speaks to us through other people. They can be writers, they can be pastors, they can be prophets, or they can be seven-year-olds. We have a seven-year-old in our church that God quite often speaks to me through. All right? So God, the Holy Spirit can speak through His body as well. All right, the last one we just wanted to mention, I'm sure you can think of others, is circumstances. I think the Holy Spirit is speaking to us through circumstances a whole lot more than we realize. Oftentimes I think we're so busy trying to use our logic and make sense of the circumstances that we're not listening to what He's saying to us in the midst of those circumstances. We recently went through a business situation, which some of you are familiar with, where we experienced one rejection after another. And we thought God was saying yes, but everybody else who seemed to really count was saying no. And this went on for months, right? And so what the devil was whispering in our minds through these months of rejection after rejection was failure, not good enough, rejected, unworthy, screw-ups, undeserving, can't hear God right, okay? All of these things, different times. But what the Holy Spirit was whispering in the midst of the situation was persevere, press on, try again, don't give up, walk by faith and not by sight, believe my word, persevere, stand and see the salvation of your God, you know? And so if we'd tried to sort of logically sit down and look at this situation, I think we would have given up about halfway through. But because we were listening for his voice in the midst of the circumstances, we tried to, you know, not look at what we saw and go with what he said. And eventually we came out the other side of it. And God proved himself yet again as our salvation and our deliverer and our provider and everything else. I was reminded this afternoon when I was thinking about this of Saul on the road to Damascus. All right? Think about it from Saul's point of view. All right? He's on his way somewhere. He's got a plan. He's got a goal. And the next thing he knows, he's been stopped from where he was going. He's been stopped from what he had planned to do. He's been traumatically knocked to the ground and laid flat, made to go blind. He's absolutely helpless. All his goals are shattered and in smithereens. And then he's diverted off somewhere else that he never intended to go. I mean, think of it like that. I never had before. But see, all of this, this is what the circumstances were. But all of this happened because God had something to say to him. Okay? He was stopped from where he was going, stopped from what he planned to do, knocked flat, laid out, gone blind, sent somewhere else. All of this because God had something to say to him. And so the question is, what does God have to say to you in the midst of the current circumstances that you're finding yourself in? Okay, right. Well, that's just a food for thought for later. All right, let's go on. E, another way that God communicates with us is through dreams and visions. Okay, the Holy Spirit will speak to us and bring an understanding of God's mind and heart and will and purpose through dreams and visions. And I'll just give you a couple of examples for your notes from Scripture. Genesis 15:1. Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 15 is another one. And then one from the New Testament, Acts 10, verses 9 through 17. There's just a few, but there's loads of them, you know, throughout the Old and the New Testaments. Loads. I have a lot of dreams, but most of them I think are just the result of my overactive imagination impacting my subconscious mind while I sleep. But I always know which ones are from God, though, you know, because I remember them. And they're really vivid, and I remember every detail, and things just sort of jump out at me, and I kind of wake up with this sense of knowing that God's just spoken to me. I don't know how many of you have ever had that happen, but every once in a while, he does speak to me through a dream. And one of the biggest things in my life, actually, as a young Christian, God spoke to my heart and settled it through a dream. And it had to do with with his love for me. And I mean, because of some of the things I'd been through as a child, I felt really ugly and unwanted and polluted, kind of defiled and things, you know? And so in the back of my heart really was this doubt that God would ever really, you know, I kind of felt like he was putting up with me and not that he really desired me. And so in this dream one night, because of what happened in this dream, I woke up knowing that God had spoken to my heart. And he settled that whole thing once and for all through a dream. So that was just my experience. But anyways, we go on part four. We want to learn to discern his voice. And remember, we were talking about how God has created us to hear his voice. He's created us with that capability, but there's a process of learning to discern his voice and coming to know his voice and recognize it in the midst of all the other voices that we hear going on around us. All right? And so this is a real important principle here, is that discernment comes as a process of growth and practice. Hearing the voice of God, you've got to fill in the blank here, I think. Hearing the voice of God is not hard, but each of us must continually exercise our spiritual senses in order to grow in our receptive abilities. All right, and Hebrews 5:14 is a key verse in this, because it gives the key to growing in our ability to discern the difference between the voice of the Holy Spirit and all the other voices that we hear. Hebrews 5:14, you have it in your notes there, that food belongs to those that are mature, those who by reason of use have their senses trained or exercised to discern both good and evil. All right? So that training, that exercising, that ability to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit from all the other voices that we hear, to judge between the holy and the profane, comes with practice, comes by reason of use. And if you're like me, you learn more from your mistakes than you do from when you get it right. You know how I learned to give like a congregational prophetic word when I was like young, out of Bible college? Because the whole way through Bible college, I would sit in the church and I would have a word. In fact, I'd have lots of words. But I'd think, is it God? Is it me? Is it God? Is it me? Is it God? Is it me? Okay, I know it's God. Right? Is it the right time? No, it's not the right time. Yes, it's the right time. No, it's not the right time. Should I do it here? Here? No, they didn't give me an opening. Right, must not be God. Yes, it's God. I know it's God. Is it the right time? No, it's not the right time. And I would dither around until every opportunity was gone. And then at the end of the service, I'd be going, oh, I get it again. Oh! Like, next week, I'm going to do it. God, I'm going to do it. I promise. And then the next week, I dither around the same way. But you know, I learned more from my mistakes. I learned to recognize his voice from my mistakes. It was like such a, oh, but if it was me, I began to realize, you know, that when it was just something that I could throw out there that sounded good, but it wasn't really God, there wasn't the same, it was just different. And I learned to recognize the difference through my mistakes. So if you're like me, take heart. You'll learn more from your mistakes than you do from when you get it right. Okay, let's go on to two. The key to discerning the voice of God, again, fill in the blank here, is to continually exercise our spiritual senses to receive his communication. As we spend time with him and extend our faith to hear from him, then his voice becomes clearer and more distinct. It becomes clearer and more distinct as we spend that time with him and as we stretch a little. I wanted to give you an example from something I learned growing up on the farm. My dad had 400 acres and a couple hundred head of cattle, and So I grew up with cows and learned a lot from cows. One thing I learned was that those little calves that were born, it didn't take them any time at all to be able to learn to discern their mother's moo from all the other moos. Okay, I mean, they could be all the way across the field, and there's 50 cows out there all going moo, moo, and they all sound alike to me. But as soon as, you know, the mother for that calf would moo, that calf would jerk up and go running straight over to her because he recognized her voice. And in the same way, I think, you know, it's like the calf had sort of, with time, exercised his ability and discernment of her voice and came to a place where he was able to pick it out among 50 other cows that all sounded alike. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. You know, that same process where we can instantly pick his voice out of the 50 other voices that are yakking on around through the voice of the world and the voice of other people and all the demonic stuff that would say, oh, you know, tell us all the lies of the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, God wants us to come to a place where, like that calf, we can instantly pick his voice out from amongst all those other voices and instantly recognize his voice. And he gives us the ability to do that as we just continue to persevere and exercise discernment, trying to listen for his voice. Okay? And as we spend time with him, we'll become more familiar with his voice and more familiar and attuned to how he speaks to us. Which brings us to our next point, and that's that different people hear from God in different ways. Okay? As we grow in our ability to discern his voice, we discover that our personal spiritual senses become sort of more sensitive to hearing God in a particular way. And this is not to say that God can't speak to us any way that he desires, because he can. What I'm trying to say is that most of us find that as we grow in our ability to discern his voice, we become especially sensitive to his communication in one vein or channel. And I'm going to give you what those are in just a minute, but I want to just share like an example of a police scanner. All right. There's things being broadcasted on different frequencies. There's things coming in on different channels, on different frequencies. And I think each of us finds that we tend to find it easier to listen in on one frequency or the other. All right? And it's different for all of us. So he speaks in different ways. And with time, we find that we tend to more easily hear God in some ways more than other ways. Okay? For example, I get a lot of pictures, and we're going to talk about these in just a minute. Other people don't ever get pictures from God. They always hear from him in a different way. And so we'll find that each of us has a way that we more easily hear God than maybe some other ways. And it's unique and individual because we're all special and unique individuals that God created different from one another. And so there's sort of a process of learning the way that we hear God best, all right? But even in that, I want to encourage you, don't be limited to that. It's like the gifts of the Spirit. You know, we all have the Holy Spirit, and I know there's been a lot of teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, and a lot of people teach that you have a gift, or maybe two if you're really lucky. But God talked to me about this a long time ago, and I have to disagree with people who teach that, because we all have the Holy Spirit living in us, right? And if we have the Holy Spirit, we have all of the Holy Spirit, and they're his gifts, not ours. And so if he is resident in us and he is flowing through us, then we all have the potential and the capability to flow in every gift of the Spirit, because they're his, not ours, right? And so, but here's where we get tripped up, I think, is because we find that because of our past experience, our training, our teaching, our faith level, we all flow in some gifts of the Spirit more easily than in other gifts. Like discerning of spirits, I've had lots of practice in that one. My faith level's up there. No problem. When you get to gifts of miracles, I've never had that gift operating in me yet. Okay, but I'm believing that before I die, you know, I want to be yielded to the Holy Spirit and be able to flow in gifts of miracles as well. But it's easier for me to flow in discerning of spirits, for example. Okay? Well, in the same way, think about hearing God. In the same way, He's got different ways that He speaks to all of us, but we all find it easier to hear from Him in certain ways more than in other ways. And so that's sort of a process of learning what the ways are that are easier for us to hear from God. All right, now some of these ways, and this is what I'm going to talk about next. We talked about like the police scanner that is kind of homing in on different frequencies. All right, well, there's like three major frequencies, three major ways that God communicates through us. One is through seeing. All right, this is the ability to see by the Spirit, where He brings some pictures to our minds in one way or the other. Now, there's three major categories of seeing. The first one is mental images. All right? These can be described as receiving a mental picture in your mind that's prompted by the Holy Spirit. Okay? For some people, these pictures come instantaneously, as an instantaneous picture. For others, the images develop gradually in their mind's eye, like a Polaroid film. You know how they're kind of blank, and then gradually there's more and more and more detail until you can really see what the picture is. But it's different for different people. Some people see the whole thing instantly. And when I say a picture in your mind's eye, the best way to describe that, if you're not a picture person, then you won't know what I'm talking about. So I want to illustrate this. It's like, okay, if I said the word apple, all right, you know how in your mind there's some sort of a picture of an apple or something that comes to your mind as soon as I say the word. Well, it's like the Holy Spirit will bring a picture like that, and you'll see it the same way. But it's prompted by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's a picture that comes as God communicates something to your heart and your spirit, rather than just a picture that comes when I say the word apple. But it looks very similar in your mind, okay? So when I say a picture in your mind's eye, that's the kind of picture that I'm talking about. All right. Scriptural illustration. This is from John chapter 1, verse 48. You have that in your notes? All right. Now here, in this passage, the Father had already communicated with Jesus about Nathanael in the form of a mental picture before Philip had ever gone and gotten him. The Father had already communicated with Jesus about Nathanael in the form of a mental image before Philip had ever gone and gotten him. And then just as a personal illustration of this mental image you can get as God speaks to you, as I was praying for someone recently, who's disabled. As I was praying for them, I had a clear picture in my mind. Unbidden, I wasn't thinking this way at all. In fact, I was praying for something completely different. But as I was praying for this person, I could see this person walking quite clearly and quite easily. And I knew that the Lord was prompting me through this mental image that he was giving me to pray for healing for this person and for full restoration of their muscles and their limbs, which was different from the way that I was praying at the time. All right. But through that mental image, God communicated to me, this is how I want you to pray, because I knew that that was his mind and heart and will and purpose for this person as I prayed for them. All right. So he communicated that through a mental image. Secondly, this is the second kind of seeing by the Spirit. Second way that God communicates through seeing is visions. And these are supernatural occurrences where the Lord opens our physical eyes to the spiritual realm. And remember, the spiritual realm is eternal. Which means that a vision can encompass something in the past, the present, or the future. All right? And a vision is often like watching a movie or participating in a movie. Sometimes you're watching it as an observer. Sometimes you're in the middle of it. You're the... You're one of the actors in the movie. But sometimes you're just seeing it all happen. Visions can be very different from one to the next. All right, just a couple of scriptural illustrations for your notes. 2 Kings 6:17, which is where Elijah prayed and the Lord opened the eyes of his servant to see the whole spiritual army that was standing with them against the enemy. And he saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire. And, you know, God gave him a vision of what was happening in the spiritual realm as they stood there thinking the two of them were alone as they faced their enemy. And then in Acts 10, verses 10 and 11, this is where Peter had that vision of the sheet coming down, you know, with Cornelius and when God was sending him, and he saw heaven open, and it was like this big sheet came down, and something about it was knit at the four corners, and it was when God began to talk to him about eating what was unclean, remember? And it all started with this vision. All right. Then finally, the third kind of seeing thing is dreams, which are really just night visions. They're just visions that we have while we're asleep. And a couple of scriptural illustrations for your notes is Genesis chapter 20, verse 3, where God came to Abimelech in a dream and... told him that Abraham was being rather deceptive about Sarah being his sister. All right. So he communicated with Abimelech about Abraham and Sarah through a dream. And then Matthew chapter 1 verse 20 was when the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, telling him that her conception was by the Holy Spirit and that God was in this. All right? So that was communicated to Joseph by a dream. All right, now the second major way that God communicates with us, that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, is through what we call hearing. Now, we've been talking all along about hearing the voice of God, but this is, we've talked about hearing through seeing. And in a minute, we're going to talk about hearing through sensing. But this is hearing through hearing. Actually hearing with your spiritual ear, God speak something. And some people have actually heard audible voices. I only have once that I know was God. But oftentimes it'll come either as an audible voice or specific words. Like you will hear words in your spirit. And that's what I'm talking about when I say hearing. Many times it comes as a still, small voice, right? And you remember Elijah experiencing this at Horeb. Remember that passage where, the Lord told him to go and stand on the mountain, and then the Lord passed by, and this big wind came, and he said the Lord wasn't in the wind, and the Lord wasn't in the earthquake, and the Lord wasn't in the fire. But after the fire, there was a still, small voice. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out. He stood at the entrance of the cave. And then there came to him that still, small voice. And the Lord said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" You know? And so when we hear the voice of the God with the hearing sense, we hear that still, small voice as God speaks to us. And which is not to say that he doesn't shout at times. I think he has to get my attention at times. But usually it comes as that still, small voice. And it's so easy to miss. Sorry, I can't hear. You're asking if it's an audible voice, would other people hear it? I don't know. I think it's different, because I've heard of occasions where a whole group of people heard the same thing. But I mean modern day. I've just heard of something recently, but I can't remember the details. But I've heard of occasions where, like, a whole group of people heard God speak the same thing. But then I know, like, I think it just depends on whether he means it for the whole group or whether he means it for you. I mean, the one time that I heard really an audible voice, I was the only one there. So that was my only experience. But I have heard of occasions where, like, a whole group of people have audibly heard a voice that was undoubtedly God, but there wasn't, it wouldn't have come, I mean, it was unquestionably just in the circumstances, but they all heard exactly the same thing. So I think it probably just depends on the situation and if God's wanting to communicate with the whole group or just with one person. Yeah, so I think there's no putting God in a box about it. Mm-hmm. Well, then he probably meant it just for you. You know, because if the other person doesn't need to hear it, then he's not going to open it up for them to hear either, is he? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But see, he anoints the ears of those who hear. So even if you hear an audible voice, I mean, look at the day of Pentecost. He anointed they heard people speaking in their own language, even though the people were speaking in tongues. What people heard was their own language. He anointed their physical ears to hear what he wanted them to hear. So even though those guys were all walking around speaking in tongues, it says that they heard each one in their own language. God anointed their ears to hear what he wanted them to hear. And so I have no doubt that in this situation, even if you heard an audible voice, you know, he anointed your ears to physically hear what he wanted to speak to you. But if he didn't anoint the ears of the other person, then they weren't meant to hear it. Uh-huh. Oh, I don't know. That's like one's out here and one's in here. That's our activation for tonight. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Let's see, where were we? Okay, just a couple of scriptural illustrations. One is from 1 Samuel. Remember where Samuel was laying on his bed and he kept hearing the voice saying, "Samuel, Samuel," and he thought it was Eli calling him. All right, this is number one under, this is B under number two. Okay. You're looking lost. Oh, have I not done Kings? Kings. Well, let's see. Oh, okay. 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. Sorry, that was Elijah at Mount Horeb in the still small voice. Okay, did everybody get that? 1 Kings, that scripture 19 is Elijah at Horeb in the still small voice. Okay, and then going on to B, some other scriptural illustrations, all right, of people hearing God's voice, either with their spiritual ears or hearing an audible voice. The first one was 1 Samuel chapter 3, where he heard an audible voice calling his name and thought it was Eli. And they finally figured out it wasn't Eli, it was the Lord. All right, and then Isaiah 6:8, Isaiah says, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Lord, here I am, send me.'" Yeah, okay. He heard the voice of the Lord saying this to him. Words. All right. Then the third way, main way that God will speak oftentimes is through feelings, which we also can call through impressions or sensing. They're all just English words that we try to use to describe this supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we can call it feeling, sensing, impressions. And some of us, you know, may be more receptive to seeing mental images or to dreams or visions. Some of us may be more receptive and able to hear God more clearly as he speaks specific words, either to our spirit or audibly. Others of us may be more sensitive to God speaking to us through impressions, okay, or through what we feel. And by what we feel, I don't mean I feel happy, sad, joyful, tired, depressed. Not that kind of feelings, okay? But this will get clearer as we go further. All right, A, most often it comes as a deep inward knowing about a situation, a person, or whatever, but without any natural knowledge of it. It comes as a deep inward knowing about a person, a situation, or whatever, but without having any natural knowledge of it. We just know. All right? Have you ever had anybody ask you, "But why?" And you said, "I don't know. I just know it's not the right thing to do." Sorry? Yeah. All right. B, many times this kind of sensing or impression where God is communicating to us by an impression, we call it a witness of the Spirit many times. Okay, somebody will say something and the Holy Spirit is exploding on the inside of you saying, "Yes, yes, yes, yes." All right. That's God communicating to you through impression or sensing, right? Okay. And we call it, oh, I've got a witness from the Spirit. All right. Well, that's God communicating, saying yes. All right. In other cases, another way this works is that we can feel the emotions or feel the physical pain of another person sometimes as the Lord communicates how he wants us to pray for them. All right, that's another way this works. Oftentimes, I mean, some people will receive, the way they receive a word of knowledge about a need that someone has for healing is they will feel a pain in that place. And they know that's God communicating to them, that like they'll feel a pain in their right knee. And through experience, they've learned that that's God communicating. There's someone here that has a problem in their right knee, and I want you to pray for them. All right? A lot of time, that's how people get words of knowledge, is through feeling it first. Not God saying, there is someone here. Not seeing a picture of a person with a bum right knee, but actually feeling that pain in their knee sometimes. Or sometimes as you're counseling people, you will feel the emotion that they're experiencing. God will communicate that to you, and you will actually feel what they're feeling. And he's communicating that to you so that you know how to pray for them. All right. And then finally, another way that, this impression feeling thing, that God can communicate this way, is through bringing his peace. Experiencing or feeling the peace of God is a way of sensing what the Lord is saying to you. All right, I'm going to say that again because this one's really important. Experiencing or feeling the peace of God is another way of sensing what God is saying to you. And this is the first way that I learned to hear God as a young Christian, because I had a pastor at that time that used to always, he had a favorite phrase, "Let peace be your umpire," which comes from a passage in the New Testament. And so that was the first way that I really learned to hear God speak to me, was through that peace. Did I have his peace or did I not have his peace? If I had his peace, he was saying yes. If I didn't have his peace, he was saying no. All right? And through the years, you know, he's developed my hearing and my seeing, my sensing in other areas. And so I'm not limited to having to discern whether I have his peace or not have his peace. I can get a little more from him than that. But that's a biggie. And sometimes even now, that's all I get from him. He won't explain things to me in certain situations. He'll only let me know I have his peace or I don't have his peace. And I've learned to trust that and to go with it. And that's God communicating through sensing what his will and his desire is in a particular situation. All right. The last thing about sensing or impressions that I just wanted to mention is that they often accompany the mental pictures that God gives us to help us interpret what the pictures mean. All right, so a lot of times, if God, the Holy Spirit, brings a picture to your mind to communicate something, he'll also bring an impression along with the picture to give you an understanding of what that picture really means. Okay? And a scriptural illustration, actually you have three of them here, and they're totally written out in your notes. So I'm just going to mention them for the tape. Matthew 27:19, and the word that Pilate's wife used there actually means to experience a sensation or an impression. And the second one has to do with the Holy Spirit stopping them from going into this particular area. And we had a note here that the Holy Spirit didn't bodily stand in their way, but rather brought a constraining, a check, or what we would call an inner witness, which said, don't go, and conveyed to them God's direction as he brought that impression to their hearts. And then the third one was Mark chapter 5, verses 29 through 30, where the woman with the issue of blood had a knowing inside of her that she was healed. Okay? It didn't come as a hearing. It wasn't words, a voice, daughter, you're healed. Okay, inner spirit. It didn't come that way. It didn't come as a picture where she saw herself healed and walking and knew she was healed. No, it came as a knowing inside of her, an impression. She knew she had been healed. Without any natural knowledge to corroborate that, she knew. Okay, that's an example. And then finally, I just wanted to sort of give a personal illustration of how all three of these things can work together. All right. Usually I don't just see, and I don't just hear, and I don't just sense. I get all three at the same time a lot of times. And so I just wanted to share one example that might help you to see how God can pull all of these together and speak to you through all three ways at the same time. I was praying for a lady several months ago, and she was sharing that she had a real block that was happening in her walk with God, and just in their house. It was like if she sat down to read her Bible, it was like block. If she tried to pray, it was block. It was like everything inside their house was just block, block, block. But as soon as she went out of the house, she was fine. And so she was asking me if I could, you know, get some discernment from the Lord on what was going on. So as I prayed, the first thing that happened was I saw a picture. And I saw a picture of one of those spiral staircases, like in little chalets or chateaus or something, you know, or little metal kind that go up like that. And then right on the heels of that, I heard the word stairway to heaven. So I saw the picture, then I heard the word stairway to heaven, and then right after that came this impression, Led Zeppelin album. So, but this lady didn't look old enough to be listening to Led Zeppelin, so I just, and she was a Christian, and, you know, I thought, oh, okay, but I know it's the voice of the Holy Spirit because I recognize it. So I said, well, what I'm sensing is the block has to do with this Led Zeppelin album, Stairway to Heaven. And she kind of went, no. And she said, oh, my husband and I just had a fight about that yesterday. And I said, what? And she said, oh, he's had this album for 20 years and he just won't give it away. And she said he's so attached to it, and so it's been in our living room all this time, and she said I've never felt comfortable with it, but he just didn't want to give it up. So we had a big row about it yesterday, and he still didn't want to give it up, but he said, all right, fine, I'll just put it in the attic. And so she said that's where it is right now. And so I mean, this didn't resolve their situation, obviously, but it did help her to understand why there was some kind of a spiritual block happening in their house. Because I don't know if those of you who know, but the guys that were in Led Zeppelin are really into the occult, really heavy. And so, in fact, who's Robert Plant actually bought? He was really into Aleister Crowley stuff, and he actually bought a castle to use as an occult center and museum. So that's how heavily they are into the occult. And so what all of is God brought this communication through seeing and hearing and sensing. What he was doing was putting a finger on why that block existed. And then I know that we asked him to just give her wisdom and direction on how to proceed from there. But he did put his finger on and identify what the source of the problem was through a combination of seeing, hearing, and sensing. Okay? So now it's activation time.